But I will, in my weakness, rely on God's strength to teach this morning. And if you know the word of prayer, I would ask you to pray this morning for my word. We have been in Romans now for a long time, beginning in Isaiah, but working through Romans. We've been in chapter 1 for many, many, many weeks. And I could not get released to go to chapter 2. I've been in chapter 1 for so long. But this week we begin chapter 2. Now, if you recall, chapter 1 is about the indictment of man. But for the most part, it's about the indictment of pagan man. In other words, the ungodly, those who worship idols, those people. For example, that's who Paul said, I'm going to Rome so I can get some fruit among them. Right. They're worshiping idols, they're lost without God, I'm going there to get fruit. We come into church and we look at each other as if, yeah, go bless God, go get them idol worship. But then we come to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is about the morally religious laws. And I want to begin this morning not in chapter 2. As you know, my method of teaching is letting the scriptures tell us what chapter 2 is about. I want to begin this morning in Psalms 33. Now, why would you think that I would begin in Psalms? That's great. Well, that's true. That's true. But chapter 2 is going to deal with, for the most part, the Jews. You remember what verse 16 of chapter 1 said? Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to all that believe.
No.
To all that believe. To the Jew first. And to the Greek. Well, he's covered the Greek. Now he's going to the Jew. And we have to get the mindset of the Jew. The Jews' mindset was this. We know God, but them rotten Gentiles don't. And we don't want them to know God. We're special. That was their mindset. That's why they hated Jesus. They had a power over the people. And Jesus was going to take that power. They hated him. But if you look back in Psalms 33, and I'm going from Psalms to Psalms to Psalms to Isaiah, to, you know, the word we end up, you know, having on a roller coaster of scripture. And I think when I get done, you'll see why I started where I started. So in verse 1 of chapter 33, he says this: Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery, and an instrument of ten strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. Why? Because the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of God. Now listen, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But you know, we have a saying here, God's good. And that's the devil pretty sad. I don't mean that to be offend anybody. But if you're not careful, it becomes a cliche. God's good all the time. He is good all the time. But it's not a cliche. It ought to be something that's got the down in here that's stirred around in there, and you know the reason why God's good. The reason I started in Psalm is because the Jews should have known God's good. They had the word. He just said his word is truth. He just said his word is righteous. He just said the Lord's good, didn't he? Well, look at Psalms 119:68. Psalms 119:68. Anybody know what Psalms 119 says? It's about the Word. It's the longest chapter in the Bible because it's about the Word of God, the statutes of God, the testimonies of God. And so in verse 68, he says this. Thou art good and doest good. And I can put in there, therefore, if you really believe God is good all the time, would it be good for you to say, God takes you in the Word? Oh Lord, let me walk according to your word. Let me walk according to your statutes. Let me walk according to your testimony. Let me walk according to your law. Let me walk in honor of your word. Let me walk in glory to your word so that you get the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. So they should know that God is good. Now look, if you will, at Hosea chapter 11. And I'm going by memory, so y'all know my memory's not very good. So if I'm wrong, we'll find something else to go through. But it's the one after Daniel, and it's the 11th chapter of Hosea. It says this. says, you have heard it said. But I say. Now, what did they heard it said? Well, the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers and the high priests, they had said this. Thou shalt not kill. He said, you have heard it of old. You've heard it forever. But I say, he that hated his brother without a cause is guilty. He said, ye have heard it said, but I say, he said, ye have heard it said that thou shalt not commit adultery. You've heard it, he said. But remember this, you broke God's law. Even though you didn't go to your neighbor's wife and get in a bad liver, you broke the law when you saw her outside and lusted at her. You broke God's law. Well, guess what? Now you're a transgressor. That's why he says if you broke one, you broke all. You can't live this. That's what he's trying to get them to see. Stop thinking that you can physically keep my law. Your heart is wrong. Your heart won't allow it. I must give you a... That's what salvation is. Salvation is not about committing and accepting or becoming a certain denomination and joining the church and signing the law. Signing the roll and thinking you're okay with that? Salvation is what Hebrews says. Let us therefore come bold before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Why do you need mercy? Thank you. neighbor's wife anything.
You say, oh, God, no, I won't take
anything. That's what you say, God. Do you lose that? You're still in the flesh.
But before you had a new heart, you didn't have the power on the command. That's why you feel it. I'm trying to get the point.
So then if you go to, I know I'm going this time. If you go to Luke 18, I'll just take it to you. You can go there and follow me if you want to do somewhere else in Luke 18.
It's, well, I will speak to you for 15. All this is for a good reason. I wasn't expecting how much. Luke 18, he says this.
And he spake a parable unto them that do this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint.
I'm going to ask you this morning. That's how you never pray without fainting. Pray this morning. You don't know why. But I'm telling you why. There's a burden in this morning. A big burden. And he says, and not be faint. Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither the dark man. And there was a widow in that city that she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. He would not for a while, but afterward he said with him, himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this would have come to me, I will avenge her. That's why her continual coming, she worried me. I'll just do it and get rid of it. God's not going to do anything, just get rid of me. Here's what he says. And the Lord said, hear what the other judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry they, and mine unto him, though he be alone with him? I tell you that he will avenge them and be speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? God wants all this stuff to do. That's God's goodness, folks. Listen, you understand what I'm taking with. If you'll let me get there, Carl, so I'm going to tell you. And here's what it says. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. And I told you they're at you. We're righteous because we're Israel. We're the chosen of God, therefore we're righteous. Well, let me what God says. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in himself, that they were righteous and yeah. standard of God is so much greater than what we presume it to be sometimes. God's standard is high, folks. That's why he says, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are higher than the heavens. What he's saying is, you live again. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or any of that disposition. Well, every one of those I read to you in chapter 1 has that litany of things which is in the indictment. But this Pharisee don't see them that way. He sees them that way. I can give you illustration. I found this this week. I normally don't read commentary, but I just happened to read a commentary this week by Mark Phil, I believe his name. Anyway, he gave a story in this in Indonesia of this man. He was going along the trail, and all of a sudden he sees this long tail across the road, and it belonged to a huge tiger. And he had a mole inside. And he stood there and feared, and he didn't know what he'd done. So he drops the sides, and he runs and grabs hold of the tiger by the tail. And he's holding on for dear life to that tiger. Knowing that if he holds on to that tiger can't come into it. So he's holding on, and boy, he's starting to sweat. And here comes the holy man down the path. And he says, quick, take my bullet size and kill the tiger. I can't hold on much longer. And the holy man says, oh, no. I believe that it is wrong to kill. What? Kill the tiger's going to kill him. Oh, no. I think he's wrong with this kid. And so the man told him, he says, well, I tell you what. You come over here and back hold of the tail, and I'll kill him. He said, oh, well, that's fine. If you kill it, that's okay. So the old man, he goes on and grabs hold of the tail. Man, he's got a hold of the tiger's tail. And the man goes over and picks up his side. And starts walking down the path. And the holy man says, wait, as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Boy, he's a real doozy. That's his attitude. Well, let's see what the publican said. The publican stood standing for a while and said, well, I'm glad I'm not like this Pharisee. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. Whosoever thou art, that if you stand and say, I am glad I'm not as this man or this woman, but I tithe and I fast and I go to church and I pay my bills and I'm a good neighbor. God, that I'm glad I'm not like that man next door that drinks. You're not excusable, God. He says, thou art therefore inexcusable, old man. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for one man thou judgest another, thou condemnest. You point your finger. Them which commit sins. So here's what he said. Yeah. mean daddies today that done the hard way, unfortunately. We might have a few more to track that here. And puttest thou this, old man, that judges me which means that to me? I'm glad I'm not like them. Boy, I ever listened. I'm going to a Baptist church. I'm going to a church. No, I don't care for church. If you go to a church that don't believe this book, you are Baptist. I don't care if you're a Baptist, Baptist, Presbyterian, whatever. If you're not according to this, I'm just like you be. But he said, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judges him which Jesus did, and does the same? You're judging them while you're doing the same thing. He says, do you think, I mean, do you think for 1 week that goes that if you think you're going to shame, we would call you. Any person that don't believe that we're standing before God, I don't care who you in this world. I don't care what ethnicity you are, I don't care what gender you are, I don't care about anything God wants. God don't care if you're male, female, or whatever. He don't care if you're white, black, red, or whatever. He don't care. He looks at one thing and one thing only. His standard. Right.
Anybody who walks through us,
boast not thyself of tomorrow, for who knoweth what it may not be. This bunch that says, oh, we've just got 10 years to save this thing, that's got better than what they got tomorrow. I know we are in here, but it is not lost cause. I'm concerned for all that. They believe that stupid stuff that they won't do. But what's God not mean? That's arrogance to the highest place. When you say, well, we just got 10 years to save this planet, when you don't know you've got your next break, you don't know anything. I can ask Adolf's team, honey, did you explain to me how that's going to happen? And she'd say, well, the sky is the same. God said it. Behold, I make all things new. I make a new heaven and a new earth. That's how it's going to be made.
Amen.
Now, boy.
Good job.